Today's show is sponsored by Datadog, a cloud-scale monitoring platform that unifies metrics, logs, and traces from technologies like Istio, AppMesh, and Envoy. Plus, Datadog's service map automatically plots out the dependencies in your microservices architectures for seamless, context-rich troubleshooting. With rich visualizations, algorithmic alerting, and more than 250 vendor-supported integrations, Datadog allows you to monitor your distributed applications in real time. Start a free 14-day trial today by visiting datadog.com/cloudcast. And Datadog will send you a great free t-shirt. That's datadog.com/cloudcast.
Cloudcast Media presents from the Massive Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the Massive Cloudcast Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We roll into sort of the middle of December, getting the last month of the year here of 2020. Some good news on the horizon. It's good to see that the vaccine for the COVID-19 virus and pandemic are beginning to roll out from both Pfizer and Moderna. So we're beginning to see that in parts of the world. That's exciting news. Obviously, pandemic is far from over. Everyone needs to continue to practice good habits, but it is good to see the vaccine begin to be rolled out in some quantity, and hopefully that continues to grow. A couple of other little pieces of news and notes. This will be the last show in terms of interview shows, guest shows for the year. Next week, Aaron and I will be back to do our year-end wrap-up, year-end 2020 wrap-up, and 2021 prediction show, which is, I know, one of the most popular shows of the year. It's also sometimes one of the longest shows of the year, but we will be back next week to do that show, and then we will be taking a one-week break off between the Christmas and New Year's holiday, so giving ourselves a break, and we will be back recharged and ready to go the first of the year for 2021. A couple of pieces of news of the week. We're going to kind of go through a few things here, and then we'll get to our conversation. You know, AWS, we did a big show on AWS last week, really kind of focused on the Andy Jassy week one keynote announcements. That's when most of the product announcements happened. We do have some things in the show notes about the week two and week three kind of minor announcements that came out. There are links in the show notes for that. We're not going to go into that in detail. GitHub did have their big annual conference. We will try and go through that a little bit in the end of the year show. The big announcement seemed to be that GitHub now supports dark mode. So for all of you that love dark mode, that is now a first-class feature of the GitHub browser interface. And a couple of other big pieces of news, you know, that have happened over the last week to 10 days. Cisco is trying to bolster their WebEx and unified communication offerings, made two acquisitions, one called Slido and one called IMI Mobile. Both are intended to boost their WebEx capabilities, both acquired for about $730 million. So some of them, one of them was a cloud provider, service provider out of the Europe region, so helps them boost that space, and then also some functionality that they can add to WebEx. So obviously, they talked about, you know, the growth of the WebEx platform. I know Zoom kind of became the de facto way that people did that, but Chuck Robbins, the Cisco CEO, talked about, you know, the number of users, concurrent users, minutes, and so forth that were on WebEx this year. So still a very, very viable platform. Second piece of kind of big news, New Relic has been on an acquiring spree. They acquired Kubernetes observability startup Pixie Labs. So they're looking to expand out their capabilities in observability, especially around observability for Kubernetes. And finally, speaking of Kubernetes, Kubernetes 1.20 was released. So it's now been more than 5 years that Kubernetes has been going along. This one didn't really have a whole lot of fanfare. We've now reached the point where Kubernetes is kind of boring in terms of the releases. You know, there's five or six kind of major features, but you know, it's now the projects around Kubernetes that get a lot of the attention. So whether it's Knative and serverless, or Istio with Service Mesh, or Linkerd, or OPA, or, you know, any of the other projects that are sort of circling and adding functionality for Kubernetes operators, lots of other things. You know, the Kubernetes train continues to plug along, but, you know, third release of the year for Kubernetes 1.20. So with that, we're going to kind of wrap up, kind of a smorgasbord of things on the cloud news of the week. And again, that good news about the vaccine. We're going to talk real quickly following the break about what's going on with Azure Stack and extending sort of HCI out from the cloud onto on-premises and kind of this new interaction that we're seeing Azure bring in terms of extending the cloud out to on-premises and then also kind of interacting it back with the cloud. So an interesting conversation coming up right after the break.
Today's show is sponsored by Cloud Academy. Listen up, y'all. This is a great offer. With everyone using the same cloud platforms, winning and losing comes down to having the best talent to build products better and faster. Cloud Academy is the training platform of choice for Fortune 500 companies and thousands of tech professionals around the world. Thousands of video courses, learning paths, practical hands-on labs in real-world cloud environments, Cloud Academy has tools designed to help teams assess, build, and validate critical cloud skills. Most importantly, Cloud Academy stays agile, challenging you with new content, labs, and tons of features that ensure your skills stay relevant and everyone can level up. They cover everything from cloud certifications to DevOps to security to programming languages. You can get started now at cloudacademy.com. For a limited time, Cloudcast listeners can lock in 50% off the monthly price for life. Just put in the coupon code CLOUDCAST at checkout. It's a great way to pursue certifications or just build cloud expertise. Again, that's cloudacademy.com and use the coupon code CLOUDCAST to lock in 50% off the monthly price.
Today's show is sponsored by Okta. In these challenging times, we're all looking for simplicity, something that just works. The last thing you want to do is spend time building authentication for your new curbside pickup app. Because if you're spending time building your own authentication systems, it's time spent not making your customers happy. This is where Okta makes it simple. Okta's cloud-based authentication services are easy to set up, and they already integrate with the tools and applications you use today. Okta is trusted by companies like HPE, Splunk, CarMax, GitLab, and Cengage, plus many, many more. To take the hassle out of your authentication needs, visit okta.com/cloud and learn how to get started today. That's okta.com/cloud.
And we're back. And folks, you know, whether you love it or whether you're not quite sure about it, hybrid cloud is one of those conversations and topics that is just a reality. For most companies, they're going to have some amount of applications that they already have today that may or may not remain in their data centers. They may have lots of reasons why that may or may not make sense. And then there's going to be applications that will move to the public cloud, whether they're new or whether they're something that they're migrating. And the reality is, throughout this transition, whether you're thinking about what you do on-prem or what you do in the public cloud, you're always looking for things that are going to make your life simpler, going to make things easier to operate, make sure that they stay secure, no matter whether it's on-prem or in the public cloud. So really want to dive into an interesting topic today that we've been hearing a lot about, and we're going to get a chance to kind of dive into it. We're going to talk a little bit about Azure Stack. And so we brought a couple of experts to the show today. So excited to have Carmen Crinconi, who is Senior Program Manager at Microsoft, and Todd Crist, who's returning, been on the show before, Solution Architect at Intel. Carmen and Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brian. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so just to make it easy for our audience, so we sort of know who's who, why don't you guys both give us a little bit of your background? I know you guys have been working in this space for quite a while, but Carmen, why don't you go first? Give us a little bit of your background and then what really got you focused on this HCI space.
Sure. My name is Carmen Crinconi. I am a very long time Microsoft employee. I just passed my 23-year mark, which means I've spent more than half my life at the company. And I've been kind of in the enterprise space for most of my career, Windows Server in particular, going back a couple of decades now. And the last several years, it's 5, 6, 7 years, have really been focused on software-defined data center technologies and hyper-converged technologies in general. And I was running the Windows Server software-defined validation program for a couple of years, which turned into Azure Stack HCI. So this has really just been the focus of my life for the last several years. I geek out over data center technologies, and I'm really happy to focus my career on it.
That's awesome.
Some people love Xbox. I love big servers.
Yeah, excellent. And Todd, I know you've been on the show before, but for anybody who might have missed that one, give us a little bit of the background and the things that you're really focused on over at Intel these days.
Sure. So similar to Carmen, I've been at Intel, just passed up 25 years. So that's it goes by in a blink of an eye. But I started out at Intel. I worked in the IT department for probably half my career, 12, 13 years, and shifted over into the product groups. I now work in our Cloud Enterprise Solutions group, and I've been working on Microsoft solutions. I mean, I've used Microsoft ever since I've gotten into computing, obviously, but the whole way back to Windows NT Server, all that fun stuff. But it's been a great journey. I've worked between the client and the server space. Most recently, in the past 3-4 years, has been focused on architectural designs in the data centers with our partners and customers. And that's where I first met Carmen, was his SDDC stuff, and getting all the partners together. So it's great to chat about something that we've got some common knowledge on, and we can share some great insights here.
Yeah, no, it's always good when we can get two folks that not only have been doing this for quite a while, so have a bunch of experience and expertise, but just kind of love geeking out about it and talking about it. Carmen, I want to start talking about Azure Stack, maybe coming back in a little bit, kind of broader scope. Azure Stack, the brand has been around for a little while. Some people know about it. But it feels like in the last year or so, it's really sort of made a pivot. It's kind of changed the focus in terms of it's gotten broader. It's gotten a little more focused in certain areas. Can you give folks a kind of a sense of what is the broader Azure Stack picture? Because there really is a lot of things that it's trying to do, both what it can do on premises, but also in the broader picture of hybrid and connecting to Azure.
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, Azure Stack, I think we announced it back in like Ignite 2015.
Right.
So it was quite a number of years ago. And it was the initial iteration of it was very focused on a specific thing, which was enabling customers to run Azure APIs in their data center. And over time, as I'd say, people gotten more comfortable with hybrid computing in general and have come to understand their needs and requirements more, we realize that there are a lot of different scenarios that don't necessarily, where that's not the perfect fit, right? Like there's all kinds of hybrid scenarios you need. So we've over the last couple of years turned Azure Stack into a family of offerings. So now the original Azure Stack that we announced is called Azure Stack Hub, and it's really focused on that same, value, right? If you need Azure APIs in your data center so that your development and operations teams can do cloud native things, but locally, you'll want Azure Stack Hub. The additions are Azure Stack Edge, which is kind of a first party Microsoft hardware offering, where you sign up for Azure Stack Edge, we ship you a box, you plug it in wherever you need it, and it shows up in the Azure portal as a managed location that you can target workloads at. And it's really designed around specific capabilities, the AIML, right? We ship accelerators in those boxes because they are meant to do heavy duty data processing at the edge and give you a cloud control plane for it. So it's targeted at some specific scenarios. And then for the, I would say, more general purpose audience, we introduced this year the Azure Stack HCI. We actually introduced it last year, but it was a program then. Now it is actually a technology that we are shipping that is unique, called Azure Stack HCI. And that's really for, I would say, general purpose, right? You have made the bet on cloud, or you made the bet on hybrid, you still have on-prem requirements. You need to be able to run general virtualized workloads that aren't necessarily cloud native or won't easily transport into a cloud paradigm. So here's some virtualized infrastructure that still takes advantage of everything that the cloud gives you, but lets you keep all of your data on site, all of your computing on site. The cloud is really just to offer complementary services to that while you still operate what is, really a traditional infrastructure, but you get a lot of cloud benefits out of it. So that's kind of the direction we're taking the whole Azure Stack family now.
Yeah. And I feel like, one of the biggest things that I look for, especially as things start off early and they evolve is, are you listening to the things that customers are telling you about? And I feel like the whole Azure Stack story has sort of evolved from this thing that was, people think they want the cloud on premises, which, you know, we're still seeing people are interested in that. But it was kind of this sort of general way of doing it. It's become much more refined. It understands there's different use cases. And then what's really interesting to me around the HCI story now is, while the concept of HCI has been around for a little while, right? We're going to combine compute and storage. We're going to make it simple and virtualization's built in. You guys are really now extending this as almost like HCI as an extended cloud service. And that to me is a really interesting kind of evolution of where it's going.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the I would say the value in the long term of choosing Azure Stack as your HCI, right? Like we're taking those technologies, like you said, that people have been taking advantage of for several years now. I think everyone is sort of comfortable with the concept of hyper-converged infrastructure inside of their enterprise. But we're saying, listen, we'll give you those technologies, but when you let us treat it like an extension of cloud services, we can do a lot of unique things that add value to your on-prem capabilities without you having to surrender data sovereignty, control over the local infrastructure, hardware choices, right? Like, you know, if you need specific things out of the infrastructure you're installing locally, you can do that and still get all of the cloud stuff that you'd want to take advantage of. Yeah. So it's a unique way of approaching the problem in comparison to just, you know, running some servers locally.
Right, right. And Todd, with your background really being focused on solutions, it's got to make your ears perk up a little bit. We're now talking about not just HCI, which is, you know, a solution in and of itself, but like integrated cloud backup and, you know, the ability to do over the air updates and so forth. Like, talk about, as you think about that from a solutioning perspective, how much more can you do and how does that, you know, how do you start thinking about, you know, the more things you can do, the simpler you can make those things, you know, as they're more integrated from on-premises to cloud?
Yeah, I really love what Microsoft is doing in this space. Things like Azure Backup, Azure Security Center, Site Recovery, all the what I call menial tasks, right? Things that we kind of take for granted on a daily basis now. Back whenever we started doing stuff in the data centers, if you had to go patch servers, you literally had somebody running from server to server to do this kind of stuff. Now you can actually put your servers into a group and say, hey, I want to have, make sure that these things are backed up properly, make sure that the security levels are set to these certain levels. So it's much more flexible in how you can actually get more work done, and the menial tasks are done automatically for you on the back end. So it's a simple set it up and let it run and then check it maybe once a month or something like that. So it really gives workers the ability to innovate versus just doing busy work, I would say.
Yeah. And I like the idea that it's all sort of there, right? It's all sort of there, or it's easily pluggable into it. You're not going, well, did we buy that other thing? Did some other group have the budget for it? Like it's just kind of there. You don't have to think about, you can think about it holistically. You're not thinking about it in pieces and parts anymore.
Yeah, now, absolutely. And I think that helps save not only on, you know, development time, but also with cost, right? Previously, you'd have to figure out a backup vendor. You'd have to figure out your security vendor. You know, Microsoft's incorporated all this now with the whole Azure backend on there to really take care of that. So I think it's pretty smart, if you ask me.
Yeah. Now, this stuff is all very new, and I'll throw this out to both of you. You know, we now have VMs, we have containers, backup and recovery, auto updates, you know, security things built into this, which is awesome. It's great that, you know, we were able to converge all these things together. The thing that jumps out at me, and the question I would have is, as you're talking to early prospects, early users of this, like who's managing this, right? Like, you know, these used to be kind of silos of groups. You'd have a security or a backup team. You'd have a storage team. Like, how do you find people now think about organizing themselves or assigning roles when things are, you know, much tighter together? They aren't as separate as they used to be.
I mean, it's funny because I think a lot of customers are still figuring this out for themselves.
Yeah.
So when you talk to the people who are responsible for the data center or on-site infrastructure, you'll find a lot of those same people that you've been working with for the last, you know, 20 years, right? Like they're the server people who are responsible for the local infrastructure. who are trying to figure out the right way to adapt to cloud while still meeting the requirements of their business and their users, right? Where it gets interesting is like when you do bring in things like, you know, containerization and orchestration of those containers, right? Like a lot of people are taking Kubernetes very seriously across the industry, Microsoft included. So, you know, and one of the things we're trying to do is make that transition easy as possible for traditional infrastructure owners, because they don't necessarily carry all of the expertise that you need for things like that. So, you know, the prime example is one of our hero initial offerings that we're bringing to HCI is the ability to run AKS, Azure Kubernetes Service, on top of HCI, so that we can do things like, okay, well, you're deployed the local infrastructure, you have compute resources, you can move your traditional VMs to it. But if you need to modernize, or you're in the middle of modernizing and you need to service your developer DevOps culture for modernization, you can deploy Kubernetes to it easily without having to train your entire staff on how to build and manage Kubernetes on your own, which is an serious undertaking for most, you know, traditional organizations, I would say.
Right.
You weren't born in the cloud. Taking on Kubernetes is not something that you just, you know, do in an afternoon.
Right.
At least not if you want to do it well. So we're trying to like tackle that head on and say, listen, this is part of what hybrid is from our perspective. We can offer you the ability to do that on your hybrid infrastructure, and it'll all be local, but you'll have a very cloud friendly and admin friendly experience doing it.
Right. Right. Yeah. That to me seems like the next interesting transition, right? We went through this long period where, you know, as virtualization became really well-known and well-used, teams, you know, learned to evolve. The network team worked with the virtualization team. The storage team worked with them. The backup team worked with them. I now see an interesting transition going to happen where you've got these environments on premises, but that look like or can act like extensions of the cloud. And so now you're going to have oftentimes a cloud team at organizations that are probably going to be teaching those teams, you know, how does cloud work? Is it the same? Is it different? The on-premises team are going to be kind of teaching the cloud team like, hey, you may have gotten used to certain things there. And, you know, keep in mind, you know, our world's a little different. So yeah, I see that as being a really interesting transition. And really it's a collaboration opportunity, just like we had with virtualization, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the unique things about is people talk about, you know, on-premises, or we talk about hybrid cloud or multi-cloud or you know, any of those sort of domains where you're on-prem and you're in the cloud. You know, people forget sometimes that like there are plenty of customers or plenty of scenarios that aren't going to connect to the cloud. They're going to be disconnected. You know, how important is it for Azure HCI to support disconnected environments? I know, you know, there's some other things that are out there that, you know, will extend from the cloud, but they don't, you know, they require the control plane to be back in the cloud. How do you guys think about disconnected or sort of maybe semi-connected environments?
Well, you know, fully disconnected, right? Like you need to live on an island with no connection to the internet isn't really actually a thing we're hearing from a lot of customers. There are absolutely some that must operate that way, right? Like there's certain scenarios where that is simply the requirement for safety or for legal reasons. The scenario that we hear much more often is we don't want to have to depend on the cloud for reliable operation of our hybrid infrastructure, but we can allow for connectivity to the cloud. So that allows for that, you know, either unreliable or partially disconnected situation, which is kind of the philosophy behind how we're developing these hybrid services. We don't need the cloud for any of the local functionality to work as you would expect to run infrastructure locally. But we do need the ability to go to the cloud regularly to report back information to ensure, you know, certain parameters are being met. And then, of course, you know, the big part from our standpoint is the hybrid part comes from the cloud services that we can offer connecting back to that infrastructure. So if you have no way of taking advantage of any of those things like monitoring, backup, security center, where the ability to use cloud resources to do that is the only way to reasonably deliver them without requiring massive on-prem infrastructure, then is it really a hybrid scenario? Like 100% disconnected with never in the cloud is more, okay, you need a sovereign cloud that you're run locally, and now you're talking about, you know, seven figures of investment to run everything yourself. Is that actually what you want, customer? Most of the time their answer is, no, we just want to run things locally, right? Like we want local control. We want to know that we are compliant. And that's the scenario we're going for. So partially connected is, you know, perfectly within scope. 100% disconnected, I don't want to say, you know, we'll never do it or anything like that, but it's not the thing we're focused on because customers haven't really asked for that except in very specific scenarios.
Yeah. Well, no, and I think you bring up kind of the fact that there is sort of this spectrum of gray as to what people want, right? There's aspects of this that are data sovereignty and location matters. There's aspects of this that are, well, you know, as long as the applications work all the time, but maybe, you know, we use something for backup or we use it for, like you said, telemetry information. I think this is another area where, as we're starting to see HCI, again, be an extension of the cloud, it's an understanding of, well, what does that mean? And what could that mean? Does it align to what we have to do? Do we absolutely have to do that? I think it brings up some really interesting conversations. And again, it forces you to think through, okay, what's going to happen when, you know, this scenario happens? Like if the internet goes out for a period of time, does that affect us, right? Is that really important? Is local processing as important as this is? So yeah, I think it's interesting that you're seeing it as not just a binary thing. It's it's sort of a gray area that could be a lot of different things. I'm curious because, again, you guys have been working on this. It's fairly new in coming out soon, but you've been obviously working on it for quite a while. For either one of you, are you seeing sort of any use cases that you didn't expect? Obviously, there's a lot of technologies built in here that people are beginning to use. You know, you talked about Kubernetes. It's got VMs. It's got other things. But are you seeing anything that maybe you didn't expect because just the way that it's packaged and put together, or has COVID driven some new things that maybe weren't necessarily what you expected, but have really kind of gotten some uptake?
Yeah, I think definitely with COVID-19, with remote workers, just coming out of everywhere, basically, right? Nobody's really in the offices anymore. Microsoft's got a couple of solutions for that. You know, obviously there's Windows Virtual Desktop, which resides in Azure. A lot of partners and customers have been using that. But we've also seen customers actually deploying VDI on premise, right? And that's one of the six main use cases right now for Azure Stack HCI is being able to run a VDI solution on premise. Sometimes it's you just need to be closer to the data than the cloud is, or you need to have specialized requirements, like Carmen was saying earlier, maybe particular hardware or something that's available that you can't get in the general compute cloud right now. So we've really seen a huge uptick in VDI for a lot of our partners and customers that want to be able to provide service and be able to do it securely and have that centralized control type model through a VDI type solution.
Yeah,
Carmen, if you've got any input on that one as well.
No, yeah, I mean that has been certainly more than I think we expected. We always knew VDI would be popular, but there's certainly a lot of companies that are like, listen, we are scrambling to figure out how we enable remote work, and you know, WVD works for this subset of our workers, but another subset we need something more local, something with more control. So that's been one scenario. The other one has been like retail modernization. We're seeing some very keen interest from retailers who are looking for a way to bring a hybrid control to, you know, many hundreds of sites or thousands of sites, depending on who you're talking to, where, you know, high availability is something that would always be nice to have to ensure their retail site is always working, but they've never wanted to invest heavily in what high availability has required, particularly, you know, for smaller sites. Building an enterprise, you know, shared SaaS cluster is not a necessarily retail friendly thing. But with HCI, because of our our billing model, because of our ability to scale on hardware easily, we can get down to a really small footprint and still say, yep, you have high availability, right? A failure or an update does not take your store offline, and you don't have to do, you know, credit processing with paper slips or anything like that. So we've been getting, you know, serious interest from that, because we're sort of a unique offering in our ability to go down that small and into a space that traditionally you wouldn't get that kind of service out of.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I you know, you mentioned VDI. VDI has sort of really seen a resurgence this year, obviously for obvious reasons. You know, people hadn't talked about it a whole lot, but you know, it kind of comes back. And I think what's interesting, both in the VDI use case you talked about, but also like the retail use case, you know, the world is so different now, and we're all trying to figure out, like, is that temporarily different, or is that going to be, you know, 50% different? People are now open to the idea of, okay, I may need to really think about this differently, right? And you really highlighted it, that, you know, they may have, if the economics all of a sudden change, that may open up a new door that they hadn't thought of before. Or if we're not going to be able to necessarily get in our data centers as easily as we could before, having this remote, you know, control, remote access really becomes a big deal. So, you know, I think some of the things that you guys are building in around this, you know, kind of having this, again, hybrid flexibility between something in the public cloud, something that can be local for those specific needs, is both timely because of what's going on, but also really interesting for that flexibility. So it's exciting to see what's going on with it. I'm going to kind of wrap up with that, because I know you guys have a lot going on, and there's a lot more things people can dig into. What are some of the best places as this begins to roll out that people can go find out more about this, or maybe pick your guys' brains about you know, what they might be able to do with it?
Well, you know, yeah. The best place from our perspective is always on, you know, Azure.com and on Docs, Microsoft.com. We're trying to put everything about what we're doing up on those sites, and, you know, trying to make this a collaborative experience with our customers as much as possible in terms of how we do development, how we take feature requests. And then, you know, I would say on a personal level, I'm on Twitter, and I'm very easily findable and reachable. So if you just want to talk to me, you're listening, you want to talk to me about things, ping me there. It's super easy. It's my name, at Carmen Crincoli. Yeah, I'm always happy. My literal job in engineering is I'm part of our customer engineering engagement group. So my focus is on understanding, you know, customer requirements and working with them on our engineering early access for Azure Stack HCI and for AKS on HCI. So I'm very, very interested in talking to anyone who's interested in using these technologies, wants to talk to us in engineering, you know, anyone who wants to tell me about a thing that we're not doing that would stop you, like, happily. Like, I'm happy to take complaints. Come find me.
Yeah. And Todd, I know you're always working to put together, you know, a bunch of really good solution white papers and other stuff. What are some of the things you guys are working on to make all this complexity simpler to consume?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, just go out and do a simple search for Intel Select Solutions and Microsoft, and it'll bring up all the different Microsoft solutions that we're working on. We do have our second version of Azure Stack HCI that we had published with our Cascade Lake processors, and we are refreshing for Ice Lake, which is coming up soon. So we'll have that ready for launch. And just another, you know, shout back to Microsoft is just go to azure.com/HCI. You can see all the latest, greatest stuff that's in there. Big shout out to all of our OEM partners. You know, there's 27 OEMs, over 220 designs that are available. I know Carmen's been real instrumental in setting up that site. So you can go out and search for which use cases you want, which hardware components you want. It's a fantastic place to instead of having to always build it, you can go buy it from your favorite partners and just get on online faster.
Yeah, very, very cool. We will get all that in the show notes, everything from Carmen's Twitter address to all the links that we talked about here, so you guys don't have to remember these.
Carmen and Todd, thank you so much for the time. Like we said, it's always great to talk to folks who not only have been kind of evolving with this, but are just super passionate about it. You could feel it from, you know, talking to you guys. So thank you so much for helping us learn a little bit more about what's going on, extending HCI out of the cloud, sort of making HCI a service of the hybrid cloud. So with that, folks, we're going to wrap up. I want to thank both Carmen and Todd for their time today. So for Aaron and myself, as always, thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing the show and rating it on iTunes and other places where you listen to podcasts. So we're going to wrap up and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.